Good afternoon. This is my first time that I know nobody in the audience. But we know each other right now. Okay. So, what is my studies about? We investigated personal level characteristics in this study that may affect recovery among clients of a comprehensive recovery-oriented community mental health programs in California. A little bit of background. The U.S. mental health system has been undergoing structural changes over the last 55 years or so. And the capacity, especially the institutional care, especially public inpatient care, has dramatically declined since the mid-1950s. And during the time, community-based mental health treatment has greatly been expanded to serve the increasing needs of persons with severe mental illness residing in the community. However, chronic underfunding of community mental health programs has been a major concern in the United States. So recently, several states endeavored to address this concern, increasing their funding for their community mental health programs. So California's Mental Health Service Act of 2005, January, is an exemplifies this change. So, what is Mental Health Service Act? It is California's, again, landmark piece of mental health financing and physical legislation. It places 1% tax on adjusted gross annual income over $1 million, so it's tax millionaires. And the tax monies are only allowed it to be used to meet the needs of previously unserved or underserved population with severe mental illness or kids with severe emotional disorders. So in particular, recovery is a clear priority of the Mental Health Service Act, and this research focused on full service partnerships program, which was created by the MHSA. So full service partnership, it is a recovery-oriented module of a comprehensive community mental health programs. It uses a team approach and provides comprehensive community-based psychiatric treatment, rehabilitation, and support for whatever it takes to move toward recovery for target population. So this study has three specific aims. First was to describe recovery patterns among clients of full service partnership. Second was to investigate clients' characteristics that may influence their chances of recovery. We examined social demographics, types of mental illness, and substance abuse comorbidity. Finally, we investigated whether uninterrupted program participation or continuous program enrollment may improve their chances of recovery. So in this study, recovery was indirectly measured by living arrangements. We considered a mutually exclusive and exhaustive state of living arrangement. So including independent living in a community, and general hospital, psychiatric hospital, residential facilities, both licensed and supervised, shelter, homeless, and jail. Independent living in a community was, we conceptualized it as the most desirable living condition, living arrangement for recovery, while being homeless or being in jail, we consider that as the least favorable residential status for recovery, the other five somewhere in between. So a little bit of technical stuff. I try to make it simple, but I'll try here. We estimated Markov chain model of biweekly residential movements. Our Markov model calculates probabilities of transitioning between residential settings, the eight residence settings. For example, the probability of moving from homeless to independent living. So it produced, as you can see, as we see, a matrix of biweekly transition probabilities for all residential movement. So this is the matrix of actual transition probabilities from our data. So raw transition probabilities. So the role of this matrix refer to origin residential settings, while and the columns refer to destination residential settings. So each cell of this matrix probability contains the probability of moving from the previous residential setting to the next residential setting. For example, the biweekly probability of moving from jail to independent living, as shown by the blue number cell, is about 1.5%. We parameterize each transition probability with individual characteristic we are interested. So in other words, we allow transition probabilities to vary by individual characteristics. We examine four types of characteristics and include them as covariates in my model. First, demographics, including age, race, gender, and years of schooling. Types of mental illness or severity, including schizophrenia, bipolar disorders, and other types of less severe mental disorders, including depression, anxiety disorder, personality disorder, and so on. Then we also examine substance abuse, comorbidity, and continuous program participation. We have seen this 8x8 matrix of transition probability. So each row actually sum to one. So we estimated multilinear model one for each row. Then what we did, so we our transition probability now dependent on individual characteristics because we parameterize it. So what we did, we calculated, calculated the reference characteristics based on population distribution. So here our reference characteristics include a 41-year-old white man with no college education, with schizophrenia, and substance abuse problems, and continuously involved in the program. So here, for example, the transition probability for this reference person should be different from the entire sample. So it's like, for example, the probability of moving from jail to independent living is a little bit higher. It's 2.7% for this reference person, probably because this person has schizophrenia and substance abuse disorders. So what am I talking about? We are getting there. So I calculated something called limit vector. The point here, okay? The matrix, there we already seen it. That's matrix of changed probability for the reference person. Now we look at the bottom, and we see a limit vector. We see just one row. So I don't go over the detail, but if you have questions, let me know after presentation so I can explain. So what is use? How is it useful? So we can see the probability of living independently in the community is actually 52% for our sample, while the probability staying in jail like 5%, which is quite reasonable because we know that about 8 to up to 16% of mentally persons, severely mentally persons, are in jail or prison, right? So these people are taken care of by the mental system. About 5% is, I think, is reasonable. Yeah. So I just got 5 minutes, so kind of get a hurry. So what we did, we compare those row vector of equilibrium probability. So let me give you an example. So in this example, we are interested in the relation between substance abuse and recovery. What we did first, we calculated that equilibrium probabilities for this reference characteristic, which is for substance abuse disorders. Then we calculated another comparison probabilities, just by changing the value of substance abuse to no substance abuse. So we also get one line. Then we just simply calculate the difference, right? So we can see that. Finally, we wanted to know whether this difference was statistically significant or not, so we calculate Bootstrap's standard errors and test it for significance at the 95% level. In this example, substance abuse was appears to reduce the chance likelihood of independent living and increase the chance of homeless and being in jail, and this result was statistically significant. A little bit about data. Our study sample came from California, included all full service partnership clients aged 18 or older. Our data came from the full service partnership mainly. And also we obtained data from the county mental health system about their mental illness and substance abuse diagnosis. So using the data, we created bi-weekly residential movement analytic file on about 9,000 persons who participated in the program between January 2005 and February 2009. So here's the fun part. So these are results. Now, what we are looking at is the bi-weekly transition probability for the entire sample. We see the large numbers on the diagonal, meaning that most people didn't change their residential status bi-weekly. But if you look at the first column, if they move, once they move, they're more likely to move to independent living status, kind of showing, you know, a little bit of effectiveness in the program. Now I examine the effect of age on recovery. So as shown by the red line, the independent living probability increased with age until around 65. Homeless, it increased with age, but the if you look at the blue line, the jail, the probability of jail detention reduced with age. So we didn't have any systematic evidence on the relationship between age and recovery. Second, about gender, how about gender? The third row, we look at the third row. So it shows the difference between male and female. As you can see, there was no significant difference for independent living, homeless, and jail. At least they are not significant. Race, we found that non-whites were more likely to be found in homeless and jail status than whites. How about education? Years of schooling didn't play any role here. Mental disorders, types of mental disorders. Now, compared to a person with schizophrenia, which is the reference person, a person with bipolar disorders were more likely to have independent living status. Similarly, persons with other types of mental disorders, not very severe, were more likely to be found in the independent living status than persons with schizophrenia and bipolar disorders. Pretty much what we have to, you know, we expect, right? How about substance abuse? Is the effect significant? Substance abuse reduced the probability of independent living, and at the same time increased the probability of being homeless and being in jail. Finally, compared with persons who had interrupted participation in program, persons with continuous program participation actually increased the chance of independent living, reduced the likelihood of homeless and jail detention. So, to summarize, the probability of recovery didn't change with age. Gender has no significant effect on recovery. Non-whites experienced worse recovery outcomes than whites. Years of schooling had no effect on recovery. Mental illness of greater severity reduces the chance of recovery. Substance abuse is a barrier to recovery, and continuous program participation appears to improve recovery. So what is the implication very quickly? So I'd like to talk about three implications here. First of all, we need to factor in potential racial disparities when we design, implement recovery-oriented community mental health programs. Also, the severity of mental illness and substance abuse comorbidity are significant barrier to recovery. And I believe this finding is consistent with the argument that community mental health system by its nature may not be adequate to effectively serve mentally persons with the most debilitating symptoms. So, but my findings on continuous participation shows that additional effort to improve program participation may improve the chance of recovery among this marginal group of people. It was too long.
No, you're fine. Thank you.